Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Life Chat with Liz and Bell. We have been talking about Black History Month for the entire month of February, right, Velma?
Yes, and we need to.
Exactly. And we have been talking about, we talked about it ourselves and we had a family on. Last week we had International, their take on Black History Month in England and in
Canada.
And that was very informative show. So this week we want to hear from the men because we've heard a lot from all these ladies. So it's time for the men to tell us their thoughts about Black History Month and how they celebrate it and what they, you know, who inspired them and so forth. So should we just jump in a conversation or what do you want?
Yes, let's just have them introduce themselves for about 30 seconds, you know, who they are, so people will understand their perspective when they start to discuss.
Awesome. So, folks, start with right next to me smiling. You can go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to talk to you tonight. I'm Butch Ingram. I am presently the principal of Glasgow High School, located here in Newark, Delaware. Been in education now about 20 years. Again, very excited about this opportunity, about Black history, right? Because in schools and working in as an educator in schools, it's critically important that we make sure that our youth, you know, have an opportunity to understand, investigate, and be able to really dive into all nationalities, but particularly in this month of February, celebrating Black History Month, particularly Black History Month. So thank you very much for allowing me an opportunity to be here tonight.
Okay.
I guess I'll go next. My name is Rob Peterson. Thank you so much for the opportunity as well. I appreciate this moment. Just to speak and to hear and to learn some great information from everyone that's in attendance. I'm Rob Peterson. I am passionate. I'm an educator. I'm a licensed minister. Also the founder of an organization called the Marriage Grit. One of the most important things to me is to be a great husband and father. And so, of course, the Marriage Grit, my wife and I have been married for 24 years. So that's the perspective that I come from in this discussion.
Thank you. Pastor Mason?
Yes, I'm Pastor Darrell Mason, and I am Associate Minister at Victorious Faith Christian Worship Center in Wilmington, Delaware. I've actually been pastoring and in ministry for over 20 years. I have a passion for Black history. I love Black history. So when I heard about this, I was really excited to join in on this. I'm a husband, father of three grown daughters now, and a pop two little ones.
Thank you all very much. And Vivian, we have somebody else that's probably going to be joining us.
Yes, he may not, but we will just go on because we definitely were supposed to have Officer Jamal on, but you know, he's tied up in training. So if he can't make it, then we just go on. So gentlemen, Black History Month. First of all, what does Black History Month mean to you?
I think that's a great question, right? So I guess I struggle a lot with celebrating Black History Month as a month when I think about all the contributions that we have made in society as a whole. I know that we've been designated this month, and people typically, when they think about Black history, they tend to focus just on the month of February. But I think we need to obviously expand beyond that and really just think about, again, those contributions. So for me as an educator, what I've tried to do or what I try to do is, like I said before, prior to, is celebrate all cultures equally, you know what I mean, throughout the year. I'm giving everybody an opportunity to experience and understand everybody, because the United States of America, which we all live in, is a very diverse place, a place where we need to know about each other, and we need to know a little bit more than what our history courses or what our classes actually teach us. And in order for us to do that, we need to investigate, explore, read on our own, and really understand that. In full transparency, I'm learning more and more every day. I am not the encyclopedia of Black history per se. And there's some things that I feel like I'm ignorant to, or things that I'm ignorant about, some of the things that we've done and some of the contributions that we've had. But being able to, again, be in the educational system and work with people and do that research and have a better understanding, I think has been beneficial not only to myself and other adults in schools, but also to our youth who really don't know as much as they need to know. And it's not coming, like I said, obviously from the curriculum per se, but we do try to try to reach beyond those school walls, if you would.
Thank you. Next.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it means so much. And I say that because not only from a personal perspective, you know, it's an opportunity for the world to understand and see what Black folk are about. Yes, it is designated for 1 month, which is interesting. I'll use that term, but it does put a spotlight on us and our history. And though it is a month that the world is celebrating with us and understanding, and as Butch said, I think for all of us, it's you know, the world has become our library, and people have oftentimes learned from others. Some folks may never read a book, you know, so this is an opportunity for us to be in a particular position that we are to share and explain who we are, because we do have the world's attention.
Mm-hmm. Good. Pastor Mesa?
Well, for me, it's as everybody's saying, is just extremely important. I love Black history. One of the things about it for me is, like, I didn't really learn a lot of stuff about Black history until after I got out of school. And that was just through my own study of things like that. And we had a Black Histories in high school, but that covered just, you know, some of the basics of everything. But it wasn't until after I came out of high school that I started to learn a lot more about the importance and our contribution to the country.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we celebrate Black history in different ways. Which of the ways that we celebrate Black history stands out more to you? Well, anyone can answer.
No, I'm just thinking, you know, about, like you mentioned, the ways that, mm-hmm. Do you mean from a perspective?
Like we have it in school during the month. We have this year is a little different because of COVID and many students not in school, but we have Black history mentioned in schools and students do presentation. We have different in the community. We have like a number of movies that portray Black individuals in lead roles. We have more on radio shows. We have more on the TV talking about it, people being interviewed. And which of these you think take the message more efficiently?
So I want to answer that. I want to kind of answer that this way, if you don't mind, if we could. I don't think that, and I think we're doing a great job here by having these conversations and talking about it, but I think that's what we're doing. I think Black history has not really been celebrated. So when you talk about a celebration of a people or a celebration of a group, you talk about, you know, like exciting activities and fun things where you're just celebrating who you truly are, right? So what's actually happened, and I think it's unfortunate in many ways, what's happened is we take this time to learn about Black history or to talk about specific people that have done specific things and not truly celebrate and embrace who we truly are. So while the month is important and we get that information, it's not celebrated, because when I think the other two gentlemen probably would agree, and also you ladies would agree, that celebration, when you think about it, it's fun, right? It's something that you're doing to acknowledge a person, a culture, a group, or whatever it is. And by doing that, you're doing more than just giving pieces of information so the world knows that this person did this or that person did that. So I again struggle with the celebrating part,
right.
Because it's not really a true celebration in the concept or the definition of the word, rather.
Right. That's a great perspective. Great perspective. I never looked at it that way. And, you know, it's so good. At least I'm happy we had you.
Right. I do wonder, I mean, you know, and Butch mentioned a great point. I do wonder, especially with the world we're living in right now, and the attention is on Black people. And I wonder, just, you know, I guess I'm just discussion point, because you guys know, and as Butch mentioned, you know, celebration, I think we should do more of celebrating not just our history, but us in general. But I wonder, for although we're under the spotlight right now, but I wonder if what's being celebrated is in response to what we've been going through the last 365 days, so to speak, because it does seem like we have the world's attention. And are we really utilizing that attention to take advantage of this opportunity to, as Butch mentioned, to celebrate us as a people? Because it does seem, as you know, as a lot of us do, a lot of us are reactive as opposed to proactive. And why couldn't we have been more reactive as a people in celebrating us if no one else would, rather than the world becoming reactive because of what we've been going through as related to police brutality and those various things currently? And I think, you know, we should do more to create the celebration among ourselves rather than being reactive and having to create the voice, so to speak. So the time we are in is interesting. And I do wonder what do we do to really, truly continue the spotlight on us to celebrate ourselves if no one else?
Thank you. Pastor Mason, do you have a perspective on this?
I totally agree with that 100%. There should be a celebration. And as they were saying, it's like, it's been more of the, this month, it's more of the giving of information. You know, here's somebody that did something great as an African-American. Here's this, let's remember that, let's remember this. But I definitely love that perspective of the celebration. Yes, let's celebrate our accomplishments. Let's celebrate then, let's celebrate the now. And let's keep the celebration going. Let's just not limit it to a month. Let's celebrate it 365 days a year, because that's who we are, 365 days a year. But yeah, I love that. I love that idea.
Okay, so like having some music and out in the street and doing that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
I'm all for the food.
Celebration, you know. Rent out a venue or something.
Do you think that Blacks in general are we really embracing the celebration of being taking this time of saying Black History Month? Do you think that we're really embracing that as a race? Are we taking the time out to celebrate ourselves, to celebrate our forefathers and mothers? Do you think we're still doing that, or we're just taking it for granted?
So here's me again, right? So it's interesting that you would say that. And this is something that I was thinking about as I left the basketball games a few hours earlier from my school. And it's hard to celebrate for a lot of people when you don't know who you are, right? So you don't know who you are. You don't know where you came from. You don't understand the contributions that have been made before you. So you can't celebrate that. So what you're celebrating, or you think you're celebrating, is who you are in the now, right? And who you are in the now may not truly be who you are or who you're going to become. So we talk about Black History Month, and we tend to focus on, and this is where I'm ignorant, and full transparency, I need to know more, is that we talk about the same people that have done the same things for years and years and years. There are so many people of color like us who have done so many amazing things that kids don't know who they are, what they've done, even locally. So for example, at Glasgow, where I am, this month when we celebrated or gave facts, rather, of Black history facts throughout the course of the month, we use all Delaware people, right? People who have contributed to Delaware because we're in Delaware, so that they're able to make that connection with somebody who's local, somebody that's right there that they could possibly relate to or connect to. And you know, Delaware's small, right? So everybody kind of knows, you're like, they say 5 degrees of separation, Delaware's like 2, right? So you know somebody who knows somebody. So to be able to make that connection is important, but we need to, when we talk about information, we need to give more information about more people, because the figures that we talk about are absolutely outstanding, amazing, and have done amazing things. So I'm not discounting what they have done for us, but there are so many others that I think kids, especially if you start to train them when they're younger, if they can start to see smaller things that have happened by others, I think that they can begin to understand who they truly are. And I think it was a quote, I'm thinking Malcolm X might have said it years ago, and I could be misquoting him and it may have been someone else, but I'm pretty sure it was Malcolm X, where he said about the roots of a tree, right? So it's kind of oxymoron, right? So you can't hate the tree without hating the root of the tree, right? So I'm saying that to say that if you don't understand the root of who you are and understand the root of who you are, you can't fully express and be who you are called to be. And I think that that is a difficult concept, a pill to swallow, if you would, by many. But I don't really truly know who I am, right? There's so many things that I need to try to figure out. We're all self-building every day and finding out who we are, what we like, what we can do, what we're capable of, who, if you do your ancestry tree and you start to dig back and to figure out who your ancestors truly were, not your grandparents and great-grandparents, because you know them, right? But you may not know people before that that actually contributed and made you who you are today. So we really need to dig a little deeper. It's not going to happen in the traditional sense of schooling or just regular conversation, but we need to infuse that information in our group, in our culture, in our people. So,
you're just sharing some amazing information. Having the students look at people in Delaware who have contributed, that is really, really good, because we go outside of Delaware most times and we talk about these people, but we don't know the person we may be passing on the street or standing behind in the line in the grocery store. And, you know, maybe somebody who have, you know, a trailblazer, you know, for us, and we don't even recognize them. That is awesome. Awesome. Maybe that's why you're a principal.
That's exactly why. All the smart answers, I'm telling you, that's why.
All these answers are amazing. I'm learning all of them.
How do you feel, the other gentleman?
I'll tell you what's, and it might seem weird, what's, I guess, the positive, the light at the end of the tunnel with what we have been facing in the last couple of years as a nation, is that if you think in terms of us as educators, and you ask a child to write a paper on your favorite Black history person, and they generally pick up the same ones: Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Malcolm X, which all are absolutely amazing, have done some amazing things. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is, as you know, just to expand the thought process of so many wonderful Black folk that have done so many wonderful things for our history. What's the positive side of what's been happening is that we're seeing a generation of newcomers, so to speak, step up to the forefront, and they are creating their own history as we speak in real time. And our young people, who are much more intelligent, they're not swayed just by any direction. You know, these college students are really in a position where they're seeing stuff happen. For example, I live in Maryland, in Baltimore right now. We have there is a super young mayor that's been elected in the city of Baltimore. And my daughter's a student at Morgan State, and she sees a young guy that's been elected, 20 something years old with an afro, and she's able to identify with this current legend in the making. And so what's happening, we're seeing people step up to the plate that's becoming real legends in real time. And that's crucial for our kids progressing forward, because they're able to think outside of the box. And no, yes, they know of Malcolm X. Yes, they know of Martin Luther, of Dr. King. Yes, they know of all these people. But now they're seeing people step up right before their very eyes and become leaders that they probably never thought they would be. So that's the beauty of education, right? So education is not just between the books, but to really, because kids are on social media all day, every day anyway, and they're able to see stuff that's happening in places where they probably couldn't walk to, but it's happening in real time right before their very eyes. So we have to take advantage of the opportunities. And as a father, point out to these people, turn on CNN and look at such and such, or Google so-and-so, or go on Instagram of this particular person, you can actually see what they're doing in real time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From a religious aspect, Pastor Mason, how do you bring this across to your congregants? How do you, or do you celebrate Black history achievement in the church?
We do. And the way that we do that is basically just helping understand the contributions, as we've been saying, the contributions that have been made by African Americans throughout our country. And even there's been some studies where they've been doing studies where they're showing there are actually not African Americans, but there are Black people in the Bible who have assisted in different things and who shine forth in different areas within the script as well. So we try to highlight those things, try to help people understand, you know what, this is a time of celebration. These are people just like anybody else that needs to be celebrated. You know, it's important the fact that we celebrated as well. The other thing was, with what we were just saying about celebrating the smaller heroes, well, not necessarily smaller heroes, but the everyday hero, local hero. And one of the people that popped in my mind, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the late Pastor Lottie Lee. She pastored a church in Wilmington, Delaware. She just passed about a few months ago. But this woman worked so tirelessly in the community. When her funeral came, it was packed. It was packed because of just the things that she did in the community, the impact she made in the community with regards to housing, food, and all those different things. So I say that to say, you know, like celebrating those local legends, celebrating those that are in our communities and saying, okay, you know what, this is history in the making. This is something that someone's gonna be talking about for years, that her church and everybody's gonna remember her and remember like the community. When they came out, it spoke to her impact that she had in the community.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
If I could just jump in and just piggyback off of that, I absolutely love that you mentioned that and that you say that, because most people, they only move within 90 miles of their place of their origin of birth, right? So they're not going to get to actually touch, see, and really be able to relate to some of the people that we're celebrating. And I think that it's important that they're able to celebrate somebody that they may know or that their family may know. So that way they, again, it builds that it builds that self-identity, it builds that self-morale, it builds that self-awareness. And it also lets people know that I can do this too, because this person who lives five streets over did the exact same thing. Not this person who lives in California, who right. lives in a different set of circumstances or in a different environment did it. This person right here did it. So now there's no excuse why I can't be able to do that. And kids nowadays in particular, and I keep focusing on kids, and I know this is not, we're not talking about kids, but it's important because you have to start when they're young, right? You can't really teach people as they get older to do certain things, but, or actually I take that back. You can, but it's 10 times more difficult to teach them or train them or educate them to do things a different way versus somebody who's 5 through, let's say, 10 to 12, right? That young age where they're real impressionable and they're open to do that. But they need to see it young. They need to be able to touch it young. They need to be able to celebrate it young and build those habits. So I've been reading this book called The Power of Habit. So if we continue to give this information out, share this information, repeat it, let them hear it over and over again, they develop this discipline or this understanding that they'll just unconsciously thirst for knowledge about who they are, about certain things that are going on, about being better people and all of these kinds of things. And we really have to do a better job as adults in fostering that in our young, and not waiting until it's too late where they have been, I don't wanna say, not necessarily brainwashed, but given the wrong information and not given the right information about who they are. Because, you know, society, if we're being honest and we're having an open dialogue and conversation, society does not view us all as positive as we should be, right? What they do is they take a small microcosm of who, of our population, of our group, and they make that the mass, right? They make that the large number. That is who they are. This is what they do. This is what you need to expect when you come across that, which is why we have this dissension in the United States of America, which is why we have that disconnect, which is why we don't have that collaborative environment or feeling or people accepting of one another. Because, you know, for years, all the way back, years, even before slavery, you know, years back, it was where, you know, you're not equal, right? You're not this, you're not that, you can't be this, you can't be that. So unfortunately, even in schools, we don't have the expectation or the level of expectations that we should have, which cause people to not be able to do better or become better because they're not forced to be that way. They're not forced to think that way. And that's what Black history is about, showing them the positive, showing them that there is no ceiling, showing them what's attainable and showing them that, you know, you can do anything that you want to do. You are equal to anybody else that's near you, that's in this world. you know, and I don't want to get spiritual because you guys are masters of that better than I am, but it's kind of like you're given these gifts, right? Everybody has this gift, you know, Black, white, or indifferent, to be able to obtain these things, but we can't allow others to put that fire out that's burning inside of us to learn, become, and do more. So I don't know, I'm getting hype about it because I just think about my kids and just the stuff that they're dealing with. So I apologize if I'm running away with talking.
No, you know, in speaking about the local heroes and you know, you talk about the kids and letting them see that there's people now in today's society, and you, Robert, talked about the upcoming political leader who has an afro or whatever it may be. Right. Now, tell me, in regards to you guys, who inspired you in history?
I think for me, well, let me tell this story. Not a super long story. A couple of years back, I had an opportunity to do a commencement ceremony, and it was at Stubbs Elementary School. It was a college commencement there, and I'll share. Growing up in the city of Wilmington, my title was Four Blocks of Change, and I say that because for me, my community, the Black men in my community, were such a major inspiration for me, walking four blocks as a first and second grader to get to Stubbs Elementary School, only to walk back into that particular elementary school several, you know, 20, 30 years later to do a commencement address to a group of college graduates. So I was inspired. I mean, I love Benjamin Mays and some of his wonderful statements, but for me, the inspiration for me were the Black men in my community who weren't educators, right? Who I don't know what they did career-wise, but they literally, you know, as my mom was a single mother at the time, they literally would have conversations with me, and they would call me little Poppy, walking from 11th and Poplar Street, which is now Clifford Brown Walk, down to Stubbs Elementary School. So for that four blocks, every single day to and from school, they would encourage me to keep me in school. You know, they would see me in the neighborhood. They would say, "Look, how's school? And make sure you get this." And I don't know what their education level was, but I think back now, they were home, you know, hanging out, at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, and then when I would see the same group of guys on the way back. So the inspiration for me were the Black men that I saw in the community. It wasn't, yes, we all had athletes that we looked up to and that we enjoyed, but television wasn't as prevalent for us back at that time. We didn't have the internet, you know, at that time. So for me, it was the community, man, that was my inspiration. They kind of forced me to keep pushing. And like Ms. Ingram said, like we've all shared, that there is more to this thing called life. I can do more. And it wasn't about being better than them. It was about getting out of my own way, right? And I realized that, you know, as a grown man, that commencement address and then standing up there and having a commencement address. And I saw my, you know, my 7-year-old self in that same exact area. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that, you know, people live vicariously through us. We just don't know it.
Great. Wonderful.
I would have to say for me, the inspiration, I have a lot of different people that have inspired me over the years. And I have to concur with my brother. It was within my own family. It was my brothers. I'm the youngest of eight. And watching my brothers and my father as well live their lives, just the things, like the little bits of wisdom that they would share with me. They were quite a few years older than me, and pulling me to the side, sharing different tidbits of wisdom with me. And at, you know, at the young ages that I was at, I wasn't really listening, but it stuck with me. But just listening to how they carried themselves. Watching my father go out of the house every day, just little things like that, going out of the house every day, sick, still working, and providing for us. Just the way they presented themselves, carried themselves, helped me to see, you know, to see what I could be, to see how I need to carry myself. At seeing how they interacted with their girlfriends or their wives and things like that, and just the gentlemanlike features that they had, the spiritual background, loving the Lord. Things of that nature. Those are some of the things that really inspired me. As far as a from a more regular inspirations, as we use with the Martin Luther King's and the Malcolm X's, I would have to say it would have been Malcolm X also.
So it's interesting that we all kind of are thinking alike, And to your point, Pastor Mason, you were able to identify with Malcolm X because during that time, we had somebody like a Malcolm X who was available to be able to see really doing things like that. I think, so let me back up. So I agree with what you both said about it being local leaders. I think that the problem now is that we don't have local leaders and people to look up to. So what we have now is people looking up to these other individuals who are doing great things, but they're not as closely connected. They're not people that can really support and help them. They're good for you to be able to dream, like, because right now what people do is they want to be like a person. So they are not necessarily looking to them for support to be better. They just want to be that person, right? But what's failing or what's missing is us, like this triangle right here. As on my screen, it's the triangle. It's myself, Peterson, and Pastor Mason, males, black males like ourselves who are helping our youth, supporting them, putting our hands down, grabbing them up, showing them and guiding them the way, or guiding and showing them the way to be able to do that. So They need the local leaders like us. They need local people like us who are willing to be able to give that support and for them to be able to see, because those are the people that helped us. The people that they're looking to now are unable to do that because they're not that they couldn't, not that they don't want to, they're just too far. They're not connected. They're not close enough. They're not reachable. They're not somebody you can pick up the phone and call. They need people. We need people. Our culture needs people that you can pick up the phone and call when you're struggling and having problems. First person you can pick up and call that's going to help you attain whatever it is that you're trying to attain. That's what has to happen. And I think that's where the shift has to come, where we're no longer, we're shooting high, having goals, having aspirations, but getting the support on a local level and having that network of support to be able to help people achieve that and just help them through whatever situations and things that they have going on. So that's the way that I agree. I agree 100% with everything that you both have said.
And with that, you know, we have to be conscious, right? We have to be conscious that people are watching. And as it was said, Pastor Mason mentioned, like, you never know who's watching you, right? You never know who you're inspiring. And it's not that you do stuff to inspire people. You do stuff because it's just in you, right? It's just in you, just to do. And I think all of us have an innate ability to be do-gooders, right? We have it. It's just a matter of just trying to find it. And with that being the case, there are so many people, because again, and I keep going back to, you know, the kids have technology at their hand. They can look at the world from in their living room and see people that they want to be, as Mr. Ingram mentioned, from their cell phone. But we have to be mindful that we are probably someone's local hero, right? We probably are a person that someone looks up to. We may not hear it until 20 years from now, or maybe through someone else. But we have to be mindful that someone is watching every move that we make and every step that we take. And we have to move graciously and with integrity, right? Because as we all know, like was mentioned, Delaware is so small. Our world is so small. And people can see everything that we do at face value and sometimes may not be who we are. But we have to walk with integrity in every single thing that we do, because again, someone is trying to be us, right? Like the songwriter said, I want to be like Mike. Someone's trying to be us. Someone's trying to be a Butch. Someone's trying to be a Daryl Mason, but we don't know it, right? Until it's sometime later on, and they'll admit, hey, I wanted to be just like Pastor Mason. Now they're probably home practicing Pastor Mason's messages, right? Preaching right now because they were inspired by him. Mm-hmm. And we don't know that. So,
absolutely. So I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm gonna say we don't even have to talk about people. But in your very home, you have a daughter or a son who have started to pattern after you. So you don't even have to go outside. They are watching you. They understand when you say, you know, you need to do so and so, what you are doing. You know, what you expect them to do. And having said that, my next question is, how do you celebrate, recognize, appreciate Black history in your home, individual?
That's a good question. it's a really good question.
and I'm sure you have great answers.
I'll tell you why I'm kind of dumbfounded. Because when we think in terms of holidays, so to speak, right? We can think about Christmas and all these holidays and Valentine's Day to just pass. It seems as if like Black History Month is not a holiday, but yet as Mr. Engel mentioned, it should be celebrated. I don't think I've done one particular thing to celebrate, hey family, this is Black History, let's celebrate. And I probably should as a husband, as a father. But continuously for me as a father, I have a message group with my kids and my wife. And I named it Peculiar Generation. And oftentimes I'll send a message. And in fact, I do it at least minimum once a week to our kids, just to encourage our family as to who we are, right? Who we are, because it's important for us as a family, not just, you know, getting out of the fact that we're going to celebrate just, you know, this during this month in our house, because I'm Black. We're going to celebrate our entire lives, right? Being Black. Mm-hmm. So with that being the case, I've taken it a step further, my family, and celebrate us as a family and looking to make a change from us, from me down, right? To create this generational wealth. And I don't particularly mean from a dollar figure perspective. I mean wealth, a robust term, meaning knowledge, from a holistic perspective, meaning mind, body, and spirit. You know, from a fitness perspective, you know, we will be a fit family, mind, body, and spirit, every single aspect of our lives. So that celebration continues. It's not going to stop when the month is over. Neither am I going to say, hey guys, it's Black History Month. Let's talk about this particular person because they're Black. I want you to realize the skin that you're in right now and know full well that it's going to be your skin the rest of your life. So if no one else celebrates you, we have to celebrate us as a family, and hopefully it grows as a tradition in our household to continue the legacy throughout this, to stand the test of time.
Right.
I agree. I totally agree. And with that said, I don't think, even as we said earlier on, I don't think we celebrated enough. And there's no particular celebration that we do here in my home, but it's more of a conversation that we have throughout the year. Just different things that my wife and my daughter will talk about, different figures that we'll discuss. Sometimes it may be a movie that pops up or a historical figure. We'll watch it and discuss something like that. But I think there should be more of a focus on, you know, the importance of celebrating this month, since it is highlight, you know, let's go ahead and take full advantage of it. But yeah.
And I honestly never even thought about it celebrating it at home. You know what I mean? When you think about Black History Month, and I guess maybe it's because of the field that I'm in that I've always done it outside the home, but I've never thought about doing it at home. And that's something that's very important. And that's something that we should all do, is celebrate who we are, our contributions, celebrate, you know, what we're doing, what we're trying to do, and just recognizing that. And that, I think that also will be beneficial to our spirits, right? To who we are and to how we feel about ourselves by doing that. So I'm glad that that was actually mentioned by the two of you gentlemen on here, because now I need to start figuring out how to celebrate ourselves. But it's hard, right? So if you want to be honest, if we're being honest, it's hard to celebrate yourself, right? Yeah. It's hard to celebrate things that are going on. It's a lot easier to celebrate one of you for if something's going on. I'm like, hey, great job, that's awesome. Right. You do what you're doing. I just never was like, hey, Butch, man, you doing all right, brother? You that guy. I just don't do it, right? But it's important to do. It is important to do. And we should do it a lot more. I know definitely we celebrate our kids and our family members, you know, when certain things happen, but we need to, you know, celebrate smaller successes and really just kind of getting them to understand a lot more. So I like that. And I'm going to do a mind shift. Great shift a little bit on that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually a good point, because what we don't want to happen, even as what we've been going through as a culture, we want our kids to continue, our younger kids, to know that being Black is great, right? Mm-hmm. And not be disappointed because you're Black, because of people see you in a different light, in a different way. And we probably should celebrate more, so kids understand, like, it's okay. It's great, you know, to be Black. There's many contributions and you have a contribution to bring to the world. So it's interesting. So we're right. And I never thought about, you know, how do we celebrate personally in a home? It's just things that we, that I do, you know, let's really be mindful.
Well, okay, let me celebrate everyone and tell everyone they're doing a great job.
You as well. Thank you.
Great job. Somebody's got the marriage circuit covered. Praise God. Right. Somebody's got the educational circuit covered. Praise God. You know, it's a blessing.
Absolutely.
Great. Wonderful. So next year, when we have you back, then I know you'll have a lot to tell us about, you know, what you started to do. Vivillyn, I'm going to ask one more question and then you can go ahead with your questions. What are your thoughts on Kwanzaa, Juneteenth, which is, you know, it's not celebrated or it's not acknowledged in the month of February, but what are your thoughts about Kwanzaa? Do you think that this helps to bring to our people as a race, as Blacks, do you think it highlights again more of the things that we should gravitate to, that we should know about, that we should participate in?
Yeah, I definitely think it's what you just talked about, it's a knowledge thing, right? A lot of people don't know what they are. I tell you right now, until it became, I don't know if they, and I'm not being really ignorant by saying this, but I know that they gave us the holiday last year. I don't know if they're making it a national holiday or not. Juneteenth is what I'm referring to. I know it happened last year based off of everything that was happening and going on. But people, you know, you'd be surprised how many of us didn't even know what that was and what that actually meant. So I'm glad that it's being brought up, you know, to Mr. Peterson's point and Pastor Mason's point earlier. Because of the times that we're in, we are learning so much more about us, right? Unfortunately, it was necessary, it had to happen, and it's bringing consciousness to us a little bit more in difficult and adverse circumstances or situations. So I absolutely think people should be aware. I think people should know. Now, whether or not Juneteenth they should, but whether or not they choose to follow the principles of Kwanzaa, I mean, that would be obviously up to them individually, but they should at least have an understanding of what it means and what it represents for those respective days. But absolutely, Juneteenth, they need to understand exactly what that is and what that was. So.
Good. And just in case there are people out there who may be listening and not exactly sure about Juneteenth, I know you're going to look it up, but my understanding was it was this celebration of when people in, I think, Delaware was told that they were no longer slaves, that they were freed. So I don't know how accurate that is, but although slavery was abolished, there were still people who did not know that this had taken place. So Juneteenth was the day when they were made aware that, hey, you know, you're a freed person and it happened such and such a time. So they went out and started to celebrate. So, you know, as you listen to our conversation, please go and read up about it so that you are more informed on what Juneteenth is. And if I'm wrong, send me an email, nightchatwithvivanville@gmail.com.
No, you're right. And it's actually, I believe it's June 19th this year. June 19th will be Juneteenth this year, June 19th, 2021, Saturday.
Okay.
That's the beauty of us, you know, Juneteenth, Kwanzaa. It's important for people to understand just the celebration of culture and the rich culture that we have and that unknown culture, so to speak, for a lot of our people. And it's important for us as people in general, not just young people, but people in general, to really understand this is why we can get taken advantage of, because we don't understand our culture or even let's just use religion, for example. You know, we find it difficult from a Black perspective because you're a different religion that we can't celebrate together because our religion's different. And that shouldn't be such. As Black folk, we are, you know, we have such a rich history and such rich culture. If nothing else, what we've been going through of late in 2020 and 21, right? that should sort of bring us together more to celebrate one another. Mm-hmm. So from a cultural perspective, Juneteenth, Kwanzaa, we have such a rich history that no one should be able to tell us different or tell us what we cannot become, right? Because we've been through various struggles, and we all celebrate in the struggle, and right. We should also celebrate our overcoming of the struggle. Mm-hmm. So it's important for us. So the beauty of this discussion is, I'm hopeful, even as an educator, I love to walk out of my classroom and with students walking out with a deeper knowledge to be forced to do more research, to come back. I love you walking in class the next day and say, Mr. Peterson, tell me about X, Y, and Z we talked about yesterday. I love people, you know, parishioners to walk out of the sanctuary and email me and say, Elder Rob, you talked about this in church. What does this really mean? Because that tells me they're doing their research. They want deeper knowledge. And that's what we should be about, forcing people to study deeper and not just take our discussion always at face value.
I certainly agree with Brother Peterson and Brother Ingram. One of the things that I think about with a Black history, I don't know about all of you, but I know, like, for me, with us not having somewhat of a connection to our ancestry, if you will, when you talk about with regards to Africa and all these particular places. So when I learn these things, it's like a piece of the puzzle for me. When I'm learning about Juneteenth and Kwanzaa, when I'm learning about different things such as kings or queens that may have been over there, when I'm learning about those things all add to the puzzle for me, where it's coming together, kind of like, okay, so this is a piece of this puzzle, this is a piece of that puzzle. Very enlightening. And it does help. And I think that they should have that celebration, because the more we celebrate one another, the more we understand the importance that we are and the love that we have that we can pour to each other. It just gets bigger and bigger.
Great conversation. Vivian, what do you want to ask?
I wanted you guys said a lot, of course, and I know that two of you is in education and two is a pastor over Black, our minister. But what would you say to the next generation going forward, being that you're saying that the community is the ones that inspire you guys, our family member, but as leaders now that the younger generation is someone who's looking up to you, what would you say to the upcoming generation to inspire them?
I don't know if these words are inspiring or not, but what I would say to anybody, our younger generation and us in general, is, you know, find out who you are. Get a better understanding of who you are. Ask questions. Be inquisitive. Don't just take things as Mr. Peterson said, as face value. Just because I give you a dollar, make sure it's really a dollar. Is it counterfeit? Is it real? Like, you know, really, really, really understand what it is and what you're getting. Because what happens is, if you don't, you will become what someone else wants you to become. You will not be able to truly know who you are or identify with your unlimited potential, I would say. So that would be my words. I don't know if they're inspiring, but that's what would I say.
Okay.
I think one of the things that I like to, especially, well, with regards to anybody, but especially when we're talking about younger generation, speaking to their greatness. I like to speak to their greatness, who they can be, you know, who they will become. Because sometimes they come up, they're coming up with this feeling of, I'm not going to be anything, or I'm not going to amount to anything. And you have to speak to that greatness, because God has given us all a great gift inside of us. To some degree, no matter what we do with it, it can be great. You know what I'm saying? So you have to really speak to the greatness. And as Brother Ingram was just saying, get to know who you are. Get to know who you are. Get to know where you come from. Know yourself. And just speak to that greatness, and I'm telling them that they have a king inside. You know, they can be great. on whatever level. And when we talk about great, we're not saying like great, where you'll go all over the world and you'll be this great sensation. Sometimes it can be great within terms of just being in your community and making an impact.
For me, and such phenomenal points, it's a couple of things. The first thing is be conscious of tomorrow, but be in the moment, right? Be conscious of tomorrow, but be in the moment. A lot of us live our lives not being in the moment. If my wife's having a conversation with me and I'm sitting there on my cell phone scrolling at the same exact time, but yet I hear her, but I'm not listening to her. In that moment, I cannot get back. And young people, they know there's a lot of people sitting in jail right now that did something that they weren't conscious of tomorrow, but they were infatuated with a scenario and were reactive as opposed to being proactive. Because as we just mentioned, Pastor Mason, all of us, we're born to do something, right? We have this special gift inside of us, but all of us have not understood how to unwrap that particular gift. If you give a child, an infant, a packaged gift, they have no clue understanding how to unwrap that particular gift. If I start to tear it just a little bit, they'll understand, okay, it should be ripped open. But they're still not infatuated with what's on the inside until I open it completely, take that out of the package, and they realize it's a toy that I can enjoy. As adults, we walk around all day, every day, living our lives, never having unwrapped the gift that we have inside of us. But when we fully understand, if we are in the moment, when that gift is unwrapped, that gift will change probably the entire world, or at the very least, our very surroundings.
Well, we really appreciate you guys coming on. Right. You had really great insight and the twist that you took with Black History Month has been awesome. And I really appreciate everything that you guys said, even the inspiring words that you had at the end, and along with the things that you guys said about celebrating oneself and celebrating, you know, I think all the shows that we had, everyone is saying we should be celebrating Black History 365 days of the year. It should not be one single thing. So that's just very interesting that across the board, everyone is saying the same thing. Even across the ocean, they're saying the same thing, that we need to, this is something that we need to be aware of 24 hours of the day, 365 days of the year, because in school, you're taught so many things about, you know, the other race all the time, but we need to consistently do this for our race. So, Vilma, you want to wrap it up?
Yes, we can. I don't know, gentlemen, did you have any last minute, anything that you wanted to say, or it's all wrapped up in your words of inspiration, correct? Yeah.
I was honored to be here and honored to meet you all.
Absolutely. Good. I thoroughly appreciate the opportunity to share the stage with such phenomenal people, all of you. I appreciate this time. Thank you so much.
Okay, so did you have something to say, Mr. Ingram? How dare me start talking?
Thank you. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, and we are grateful that you gentlemen came and you are a part of this to close up our recognition of Black history. And I do deeply appreciate everything that you contributed. And to our listening audience out there, I want you to make sure that you keep these four podcasts as a set. And go back over it, and you will hear more things about Black history and learn from it. And again, you can catch us on YouTube, Live Chat with Viv and Bill. You can catch us on Facebook, Live Chat with Viv and Bill. And again, we have our email. You can go to our website. And of course, we are on various podcast medium. We are on Stitcher, iHeartRadio, GR Radio, and we are on it every day, 7 days a week. So you have no excuse not to know about Live Chat with Viv and Bill.
Before we also go, I know Butch has a Instagram. So if you want to give your information along with Robert, you have a show with your wife and Pastor Mason. Do you want to tell them about where your church is located? Go right ahead, guys. Give out your info.
Certainly. We are Victorious Faith Christian Worship Center at 500 Concord Avenue, Wilmington, Delaware. The senior pastor there is Lucette Smith.
You can find me, Rob Peterson. You can find me, my wife, Tawana Peterson, on The Marriage Grit, on Facebook and on Instagram, and at The Marriage Grit, www.themarriagegrit.com. You can find us there. We're also on YouTube as well, and it's always under The Marriage Grit.
Mm-hmm. And I have something that is called Worth an Hour. I'm at Worth an Hour, A-N Hour, on Instagram and Facebook. Also, www.worthanhour.com. You can find me there just trying to motivate and inspire people and getting them to invest an hour a day in themselves, because they're 24 hours and you are definitely worth an hour a day.
I love it.
Great. You guys are doing a phenomenal job in getting stuff out there to people and inspiring the nation and the world, change and being world changers. And once again, this is Life Chat with Viv and Phil. Goodbye.